Welcome, everyone. This is All About Windows Phone Insight Podcast 165. A bit of a special because Mr. Rafe Blandford is actually out in Las Vegas at a Consumer Electronics Show, representing his company, but also looking around, hopefully, at some of the more Windows 10 and Windows 10 mobile related products. And hopefully we'll hear more from him next week when he's back. In the meantime, it's not just me wittering on. I do have someone else to witter on with me. It's Mr. Stephen Quinn.
Good evening, morning, or whenever you listen to this, folks. I'm not in Las Vegas, I'm in Leeds.
Yes, and you're back by popular demand. The last time you were on, it went down rather well. People really enjoyed hearing a different voice.
No, we'll see.
So don't take it too badly, Mr. Blandford. Everyone loves you too, but people do like Stephen. So, and I also happen to note that you have been trialling a Lumia 950 or 950 XL.
The XL I've got.
Yes, so I was happily sent both temporarily by Clove. I got some retail units which I've been using for the reviews during December. They've got to go back shortly, but I did understand that the various PR firms were sending out these special kits. Did they send you the kit with all the Continuum and keyboard and the malarkey?
Yes, it's come from Lumia Voices is the one that I've got, and it's got the connector and the Bluetooth keyboard and the mouse and all the cables required. Probably one of the highlights of the experience.
Okay, well, we'll just take things stage by stage. People have been reading on the site quite a lot about my own problems. It's the fair enough word to use. I will say problems with a small p, because I do think they can nearly all be solved in software, but they are problems, they are issues, things which I've hit along the way and which I've having to work around, or in some cases cast the phone to the floor in not disgust but in disgrace for a few hours until I pick it up again. But all of that's documented in my features. What we want to hear on this podcast is how a completely different person got on. So take it from the top, Stephen. Let's just talk about the first sort of day or so with the Lumia 950 XL. I presume you still had the sort of same sort of 2 or 3 hours of setting up and updating and having to be patient.
Yeah, well, because I follow quite a lot of tech people on the media, I know one or two people who've tried it before. So I didn't do a restore from anything. Everybody said there were less issues if you did a clean install.
Yeah.
So yep. I set it up from fresh. Didn't take too long because there was, apart from my sort of contacts, etc., there wasn't much to update. And first impressions, I don't think the design's as bad as people complain about. It feels quite reasonable to me. The screen's really nice.
Yeah.
But one of the features that I was quite enthusiastic about it because I thought it was really, really cool, very good idea, was the Hello Windows, the retina recognition.
Yeah.
I've discussed it with other people, but I think it's really, really clever, and it does work when you don't wear glasses, which I do, and I can't see anything without wearing them.
Yeah.
And people said train it a little more, so I trained it a little more, and it will work sometimes, and it will work with my glasses sometimes, and sometimes it won't. But the problem the issue I have with it is that Microsoft's idea, as cool and different and groundbreaking as it is stupid. I hadn't used a phone with a fingerprint recognition until recently, and that is the way to go. Microsoft have got Hello Windows completely and utterly wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah, if the iris recognition worked, say, 3 times faster, so it would actually work through glasses and work in, say, a second or 2 seconds, I think it might be doable. But as you say, the fact that it's so hit and miss with glasses, which, let's face it, most geeks do wear, or contact lenses or something.
It's a complete and utter waste of time. Even when it works perfectly, you've got to press the power on off button for it to activate. Yeah. By the time you've done that on any handset that's got a fingerprint recognition system on it, you can simply touch it. I would have been looking at my Honor 7 screen in the time it took me to press the button on the side of the 950 XL to try and recognize my eyes. And then after it had not managed it for 2 or 3 times and I'm putting my password in, I'd be getting frustrated. And that's my issue with it. Even if I take my glasses off and it works perfectly, you're 2 or 3 seconds behind.
Yeah, no, that's typical Yorkshire bluntness, and you're absolutely right. I think they should have actually implemented both a fingerprint sensor and the iris recognition to give you both biometric options. Then you, people really could just, you know, use the fingerprint for instant recognition. And then if they're already holding the device and they wanted to extra, you know, authentication of a purchase, then it would know that a face was looking at the phone and looking at the sensor. And then it would automatically do the authentication for the purchase. So I think the combination of two might have been quite interesting.
Potentially, if they get it sorted, as I say, when I heard about it, I thought it was cool, and it does work, and it's beta, so I can't be too critical. But the point being, unless they change the way it works and recognises you, unless it's constantly monitoring people's eyes while it's in standby mode, it's never going to be as quick as a fingerprint sensor, simply because the fingerprint sensor doesn't take any longer or as long as pressing the button to activate the eye recognition. It's always going to be behind, and I don't really want to lean over my phone, sticking my face in the screen to buy a cup of coffee.
Yeah, no, I do hear you. Having said that, the previous Lumias, the previous Windows phones, didn't have any authentication system other than entering a PIN code, etc., etc. So it is at least a step up from that, even if it's miles behind the fingerprint brigade.
Well, they did, because you could still put a PIN in, the same as you have to do to recognise hello, Windows Hello. So you can't do that without putting a PIN in. And a lot of people I know who've got Lumias, and believe it or not, I do actually know a lot of people who've got Lumias, do use a PIN to open the phone. It's not something I've ever bothered with, to be fair. And it's not something I necessarily want to bother with unless I've got some sort of biometric that does it instantly, and it's no inconvenience whatsoever.
Yeah. Okay, so consider that a minus one for Microsoft. Now let's go to the next cool feature, which is the Continuum, which I tried out at length, and you've read my verdict up on the site. So what was your verdict after, say, a week with Continuum?
Again, I think it's absolutely bloody marvellous. I couldn't criticise it. It's very, very usable. I've tried it on a 55-inch plasma TV, and it looks great. Media worked fine on it. I played a video on it. I did a very, very brief document in office. Photographs came up fine. Everything connected up and worked as it should be. I was really impressed with the accessories. Obviously, if you want all the accessories, it's going to make it a more and more expensive outlay. But if Continuum actually took off, then it's a one-off outlay, and it's something you can use all over. The only downside with it is it does add an expense to the phone if you want to use it more effectively than simply using your phone as a mouse and connecting it wirelessly. And there are too many grey things in the menu. Microsoft need to get themselves into gear and get more applications that are universal, so that you've basically got the full functionality. At the moment, all you've got is sort of Microsoft apps and the Microsoft suite of word processing, etc. It's not finished enough, but everything it does for me, it did really, really well.
Yeah, I think they need to rewrite more of the core applications to be fully universal, so that they work in that Continuum environment. Nice. I also had this idea I wrote up on AAWP about. I think there should be some kind of remembered desktop. At the moment, you go and you plug everything in, Continuum boots up, and there's, you know, you're in a Windows environment or Windows-like environment. Well, it is Windows 10, let's face it, the core is. And it's you start up a few applications and web browser and, you know, photos and whatever. And you then have to disconnect for some reason to go across the house. You plug back in and everything's been, you know, kind of forgotten, or at least on the screen it appears to be forgotten. There's just a blank desktop. There should be some concept of an INI file or a config file or some way that Continuum can remember what you were doing last time you had it plugged in. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I'm not technically skilled enough to be able to bring around an explanation, but I know that there's a couple of USB inputs in the dock. Whether a USB stick could be stuck in one to sort of temporarily act as RAM and just maintain what you'd left it in sort of a stasis stage, so that you kick back off when you connect to the phone, I don't know, but. I mean, your other thing as well is, I think part of the reason for it is it means you could maybe travel. You've got a couple of cables and a little box and a phone, and you can turn your hotel room into an office and turn the TV into a PC. You maybe wouldn't want to leave whatever you'd finished working on the screen for the next person in the room. That's the only other alternative that I can think of.
Yeah, it's a nice idea actually to put a USB memory stick as local storage for the Continuum dock. I know that the Continuum Platinum Dock has its own firmware and only mini OS, because you can upgrade it via the Gadgets app on Windows 10 Mobile. And I think I kind of had in mind that the Continuum app actually on the Windows 10 Mobile phone itself would maintain the status, and that would kind of push it through the system and it would just all appear. But like you say, we don't know what's actually happening inside that magic box, do we? So we don't quite know how it all ties together. But surely something could be done, at least as an option, so that if you had a particular set of tabs you like to have open, like Gmail and Twitter and so forth, and you had a few applications you like to have open, like Photos, that these would just automatically appear and be brought up as tabs along the bottom. When you plugged in Continuum, I just think that's an obvious function. So that's what I'd like anyway.
But again, you're then getting to the point whereby, which a lot of people are criticising it from, it's an unfinished system and product. And as I say, the potential it's got, I think, is phenomenal. It's just a matter of how Microsoft handle the reaction that they've had from the phone, because it hasn't been positive, and how they develop the its stronger points. I think Continuum on its own is not a saver for Windows Phone, but it's a big attraction. And if it was more functional and more flexible, it'd be a lot more appealing.
Yeah, but just as a data point, when you go travelling, Stephen, you just mentioned, you know, roll up at a hotel room and you plug in the Continuum dock and the HDMI cable and all the bits on the desk in the hotel room, and you turn the TV into a big office PC. When you are travelling, surely you take a laptop like most of us. Surely we've all got laptops or notebooks or netbooks or something that we take with us anyway.
This is what everybody said to me. The only thing is, I go on holiday on a fairly regular basis, and I would tend to take either my 2650 or a smaller laptop that fits into a bag with two or three phones and two or three chargers and a multitude of cables, etc., and I'll go away on holiday. I could, and if it was fully functional, I think I probably would. With a jacket with four or five pockets, I could take a Windows 10 phone, the adapter, and all the cables I needed. And instead of having to carry the extra weight of the extra goods that I've got, probably the only other thing I'd take with me would be a portable battery pack. But I would actually cut it down. And there's no way does the phone and the adapter and the cables weigh as much as even a MacBook. Okay.
Of course, you could actually connect it wirelessly and not even bother with the cables, just by having a little Miracast HDMI adapter into the back of the TV, and then you really, really could travel light. I guess the biggest caveat would be you'd have to absolutely know that the TV, wherever you were going, had a spare and free and accessible HDMI port and hadn't been glued up by the hotel owners not wanting to plug stuff into their precious equipment.
I guess an email or a phone call before you set off would help.
So that's -1 for Windows Hello and possibly +1 for Continuum. So the 950XL is coming out even so far. You mentioned the build quality being good enough for you. Mine did creak rather, and I've put on one of these Mozo backs, which I think are rather splendid. I don't suppose you've had a chance to have a look at any of those.
Well, I've only seen pictures, and I've heard various reports. Some people are enamoured with them. Most people think they look really well. Andy Hagen got one tonight, and his wireless charging doesn't seem to be working very efficiently, so I think he's maybe got a down on it. As a trial unit, obviously it's not something I've been provided with, and I'm not going to buy one just to try it. Because everybody said it was creaky, I must have been lucky with the one that I've been sent by Lumia Voices, simply because I'd watched a lot of reviews before I got it, because I wasn't even sure I'd get the chance to try one, and mine doesn't creak. I've tried pressing it very hard, and obviously the XL is going to be more flexible, I would have thought, than the 950, simply because it's bigger, so there's more leverage, and it's rock solid. Make sure it's clicked on right, and this one's okay, but it's a mass-produced product. There's going to be variations.
I think what's happened is that the very early units of the production line did creak, and the back didn't fit very well, and they very quickly found this problem and they corrected it on the production lines. And I suspect that those that rolled off after about a month, which I presume yours is a relatively recently produced device, has the appropriate dimensions and tolerances so that it doesn't creak, which is jolly good to hear. Yeah.
Well, so it feels nice, and the screen's nice.
Yeah, the screen's gorgeous. AMOLED, of course, QHD. I really wasn't a fan of the idea of QHD on a phone, but on a 5.7-inch screen and... I know AMOLED is pentile, isn't it? So you're not getting the full RGB matrix. So you kind of need a bit of extra resolution to spare. And I think, yes, QHD works very, very well on the 950XL. It's almost the perfect display, the perfect form factor in many, many ways.
The other thing is I'm fairly familiar with Windows Phone 10 because I've been using the preview on the 930 for 2 or 3 months. In fact, when I got the 950 XL, both the 950 XL and the 930 were running the same version. The 950 had that small update a few days ago, I think was supposed to just be mine. I didn't honestly notice any big improvements or changes with it. Yeah. And I've not had any major issues. But the other thing as well that people have been moaning about all over the place has happened to me. I've used Windows Phone since Nokia got involved with it in 2011. And I think I've used just about every handset that's had a Lumia name on it. I've not had one that crashed until I got a totally produced and designed Microsoft flagship. It's only crashed on me 3 times. People have said that they have random crashes all the time doing various things. I've had 3 incidents. One when I was using the camera and I got a message, and I would imagine the two things collided, and the handset rebooted and turned itself off. And when I've been using Facebook a couple of times, it simply rebooted for no possible reason. Now, I've not had that with any other handset. Now, I would have thought with the firepower and oomph that they've built into it, and the fact it can run a 55-inch TV, it shouldn't be crashing just because a couple of apps are working at the same time.
Yeah, I don't think the crashes are to do with resources. I don't think it's to do with RAM. I think it's simply bugs in the kernel, bugs in the OS, because this is the ARM-compiled version of Windows 10. And obviously, it's going to be subtly different at the binary level from the Intel version, which, of course, is much more stable on the PC, on the desktop, and on the laptop. So it's just down to... It's a beta OS. I've said that numerous times. I get the impression that I would consider it as a tester, as a user, as a beta quality, and it needs another month or two. Does that sound about right to you?
No, Steve. It sounds to me like Microsoft are advertising it as something for businesses. They're advertising it over social media all the time. Twitter's full of Lumia or Lumia voices telling you how to use it for your business. It's a very expensive handset, and it should be running spot on. It was running the same... same OS as a two-year-old 930 when I got it. The two-year-old 930 that I've been running on Windows Phone 10 for the last 2 or 3 months hasn't crashed once, and it's got half the guts. I don't know whether the 950 is more or less stable than the XL. Maybe the different processor and the liquid cooling effect. And it hasn't been something that's destroyed my enjoyment of the phone. I found it irksome, and I would have found it a lot more annoying if I'd just forked out £400 or £500, or maybe £600, with all the bits of gadgets that have actually come with this set. Which, as I say, I really appreciate, and it is impressive, but the niggles that are on it shouldn't be there.
Yeah, you mentioned that you're trialling it, and I presume you've got it for about 2 or 3 weeks normally?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously, at least it saved you money, because I can't see you not getting a 950 XL in the fullness of time. But at least by the time you do decide, okay, time to put your toe in the water and buy one, say, I don't know, March, April time, by that time, the 950 XL should be down around the £400 mark or even below, which will make it quite a bit better value than it was at launch.
The only other issue I've got with the phone is hopefully it's the camera software, but I'm not... When I say I'm not over impressed with the camera, that's not strictly true. It's not producing photographs considerably better than the 930, which is all I've compared it with. I haven't tried to go and do some comparisons with a 41 megapixel camera. I've tried to duplicate pictures with the two Windows 10 handsets that I've been using. The only benefit that I can see, apart from the fact that you can't use HDR on it anymore because you've no choice but to let the phone do what it wants, yeah, is you get slightly better bad light photograph from the 950 XL. There's still a little bit of noise in it, but it picks up more detail, and it's also better and easier to focus on close up macro pictures. But the overall spectrum, for me, there's not enough camera benefit for it to be worth my while swapping.
Yeah, I did a whole feature on AWP saying that how the Lumia 930 in many ways for many people might actually be the better phone, which is absolutely crazy, but it kind of pointed to the fact that it's not all upsides moving to the 950 and 950 XL. I think the camera is an interesting one. I do think the 950 and 950 XL camera is markedly superior to the 930s, but it's not so much superior that most people would actually notice the difference. And as you say, if you're actually into artistic HDR or any of these wonderful slightly artificial sunsets, which Andy and I love to do, then you're kind of out of luck with the camera on the 950 950 XL, because you don't get that choice. And that's bizarre, because it's exactly the same camera app running on exactly the same build of the OS, behaving totally differently on two different phones. I just mystified.
I can't believe they can't put another option. On the 950 XL, you've got the choice of off or automatic. On the 930, you've got the choice of on or off. So why not just have on, off, or auto? Yeah. Just like you can with your flash.
Can you do me a favour? Because I emailed Yuha Al-Khahu, I can never say his surname, with that exact suggestion about a week ago, and the reply I got back from him was, thanks for the feedback. Which, now, if he'd been planning to actually implement that, he'd have said, don't worry, Steve, it's coming soon. The fact that he just said thanks for the feedback made me think that perhaps he needs a few more data points. So, Stephen, if you could possibly email Yuha, and if anybody else is listening out there that knows Yuha and his Twitter handle, etc., do please drop him a line and just mention the fact that you'd like a three-way toggle, please, because I think it's a very easy thing to implement, and I think an awful lot of people might be very happy.
I mean, to be fair, all it's done for me is made me use the pro camera setting more often, simply because at least I've got control over that. I know you haven't got full control over rich capture, but at least you can turn it on or off. And once you've done that, it gives you the opportunity to take advantage of it and amend anything on the photograph that you don't like, to increase the light or increase the saturation or whatever on the phone, and you can create the picture. Probably 70% of the pictures I've tried to take, I've not had any option. Some of them have come up and I've had the chance to choose the best lighting, but if the phone decides it's taking the best picture possible, it ain't bothered about my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. It's rather annoyed me, so do please, people out there, let Yuha and his team know what we think and what needs fixing. I think, to be fair, they do know there's an awful lot that needs fixing on the Windows 10 mobile camera. For example, all the audio in video mode is screwed up for all of the older devices. You still get most on the 930 and 1520. The audio comes out in mono, which is just crazy considering it's got four rich recording AAC microphones. Absolutely crazy. So clearly they haven't actually implemented all the various hooks into the hardware APIs. The audio is stereo on the 950 XL, as you've probably found, Stephen, but I'm not convinced listening back to it that the stereo is as wide and as true as it could be, and I think they're not using all four microphones.
Well, while you talked about microphones and stereo quality, etc., and I'm trying to turn into Richard Yates ranter, what do you think of the speaker on the 950 XL for a £450, £500 phone, a $600 phone?
I think it sounds like the speaker on a $50 phone.
The positioning is lousy. The only upside I would say to it is relatively loud.
Yeah.
But the quality and the positioning report. I don't know who the design team are, but all the redundancies must have come out the Nokia side.
I'm just looking now. I'm taking my Mozo back off the 950 XL, and if you look at the speaker actually underneath the cover, they have got almost no acoustic chamber behind that speaker component, if any at all. And I think why it's so tinny, Stephen, is that although the speaker membrane itself is perhaps of reasonable quality, there's just literally no chamber there. Can you remember, this is taking our listeners back years, but the old N95, Nokia N95, 2006, 2007, yep. If you ever took one of those apart and look, they had two monster speaker components, and not only that, each of the speaker components was surrounded by a good cubic centimeter, literally, I'll repeat that, a cubic centimeter of empty air each, which means that the sound could then develop and the bass frequencies could rumble around and you'd get a really rich, deep, vibrant, loud tone. The reason the 950 and 950 XL speakers are so tinny is because they've got literally no air to work with. And I agree, I think it's the speaker positioning that's the problem. On the 930 and 1520, it was down the bottom, really, below the screen, which meant they could use the full thickness of the phone to develop the air and develop the sound. I think that's where they've gone wrong.
I mean, it's upsetting for me because I like the OS and I like using Windows Phone and I would prefer to do it, but I also want the best camera available and a fluid experience. And I don't really want to use an Android phone as my main phone out of choice. But if I get to the stage where the only thing that I'm getting is the tiles for information, etc., I normally have a couple of phones. I might as well carry a 535 and buy an Android flagship, an LG 4 or something with a fantastic camera. They really, really need to up the game and put back whatever's wrong on these 950s.
Yeah, they're certainly not a flagship quality right across the board. I mean, when they started, I think the very first launch price we heard for the 950 XL, I think it was something like 549, something in that region, and that very, very quickly came down. I think it's now about 430, 440, which is kind of telling. I think it'll go a lot lower. I think that the plastic build and some of the component choices we've been mentioning, and some of the problems, and the perception in the marketplace, they're gonna, if they actually want to sell some of these and get some decent feedback and sales and users using it in the real world, they're gonna have to go down quite a bit further. I do think they're overpriced. Now, I'd ask you, Stephen, at what price would you physically, with all the maybe quirks we've been talking about so far, at what price would you come in and buy a 950 XL, including VAT in the UK?
If I could get the kit that I've got with it for £400, the whole shebang, I would probably consider it now. Yeah. But As it is, Continuum isn't finished or versatile enough at this moment in time for me to lay out the extra money. The camera doesn't give me any more satisfaction than the Windows phones have already got. The screen is really nice, but is it worth £300 or £400 for another half an inch of screen? I don't think it is. I really, really hope a lot of the bugs are software that can be rewritten and organised. I'm almost certain most of the camera issues are, so that's something. But I just don't think it's a fantastic advert. And the other worry I would have as well is once somebody does take it on contract, maybe a non-Windows user, if it's something that's buggy and not working efficiently, all it's going to do is end up reducing the appeal and reducing the numbers selling. This thing should have been spot on for it to be released to the public.
I do have some good news for you, Stephen. You already own the best Windows 10 mobile flagship, but you've owned it for several years, the Lumia 1520. Which has got glance screen and a huge battery and micro SD support and a good camera and a great speaker and an incredibly good screen, a 6-inch full RGB matrix script, a 1080p screen. I have, and clear, all the clear black display stuff. I would argue that the 1520 is actually a better smartphone. If you want the ultimate Windows phone, the ultimate Windows 10 mobile experience, the 1520 is arguably better than the two new flagships, which is kind of a bit crazy.
Well, I watched a video on YouTube the other night about an American reviewer, and he was more or less repeating what you just said, except his video was that he was sending his 950 back simply because he didn't see any benefit over the 1520. That he had.
Yeah. And as I've already said, the 930 has its attractions as well. So this is all, I know this is all coming across as a bit of a downer on the two new flagships. I do think that, as I said in an editorial a couple of days ago, these are kind of developer devices. That's how I'm thinking of them internally in my head. I'm thinking that Microsoft have released them as a stopgap. They've got their eye on a new, fancy, all singing, all dancing, premium quality, premium components, premium materials device sometime in the middle of next year, possibly coming out with this Redstone build of Windows 10. I think that's what they're aiming at, and these are just stop gaps. But if they want their stop gaps that actually sell some units with some decent user satisfaction, they've got loads of bugs to fix and they've got a price that's going to have to come down a bit more.
You can't defend it by thinking in your mind it's not being marketed as a developer tool. It's being marketed as a business tool. It's being marketed to be sold through outlets to give people a good multimedia experience to work on the go, and it ain't finished. If people are buying it under that impression, or some company decides to take a contract out and buy 1,000 of them, and 500 of them are crashing every 5 minutes, it's going to destroy the whole idea of Windows Phone. I can't believe that they haven't got it sorted.
What about my conspiracy theory that they're deliberately constraining supply throughout the chain, distribution channels, in order so that not too many people actually get their hands on these devices and have these problems, and that they they won't really release the floodgates in terms of tens of thousands of units into the supply chain until they know that they've got the firmware nailed down and the OS a bit more bug-free.
Possibly wouldn't surprise me, but I just can't believe they've got really good social media outlets. Lumia Voices, Lumia UK, Lumia US are all on the ball. They're all very professional. They all react well to people who tweet them. They help people out. But I just think they're giving them too much work to do to defend. There shouldn't be any defense on this phone. What you should be doing is everybody should be praising it and raving about it. And enough people know me on social media to know that I'm a Windows fanboy. And I'm fairly disappointed. As I say, I could live with the phone if the camera was superb and it didn't crash and everything else worked the same. Because I've complained about Windows Hello, but it's something new, it's something innovative, and I can't knock it. It's not Microsoft's fault that my eyes are kaput and I have to wear glasses.
Yeah. So there are clearly issues that have to be addressed on all counts. I guess that long term, I mean, Satya Nadella's already said that there's an interview I put a link to and embedded in a story about a week ago, where he was saying, people saying, well, did you give up on Windows 10 Mobile? He said, well, it's not a question of giving up. It's a question, we don't look at market share, you don't look at sales, you look at the fact that Windows 10 is an ecosystem in itself, and it extends to all form factors, games, consoles, tablets, laptops, phones. They're all part of that ecosystem. Whether some parts are selling in higher numbers than others is in a sense irrelevant. It's the fact that they can demonstrate that Windows 10 scales across from the Internet of Things through phones right up to the highest end PCs. And looked at it like that, you can kind of see what he means, that they don't need to sell 10 million of these things, which is just as well as they're not going to. Which is a bit harsh. We're kind of not really out of time, Stephen, but is there anything else you wanted to mention about your experience with the 950 XL before we finish?
Yeah, I wish I wasn't sounding as negative. It's the phone is not 100% negative. I've not had issues with an SD card, which I have with other Windows phones. So they've got something right. The battery life is good on it. The call quality is exceptional, but I'd expect the call quality to be exceptional on a £100 Windows phone, so that it's not really a saver. As I say, the screen is overall, without its bugs, it's a nice or slightly better than nice phone. But I was expecting so much, and there's not been a flagship for so long. It's not reached what I expected, and people who are more negative about Windows Phone than I am are just ripping it apart, and they've been given too many excuses. It upsets me that people have been given so many excuses, valid excuses, to just rip it apart.
Yeah, it's rather telling that if someone was to lay in front of me the 930, the 830, the 1520, the 1020, let's throw that in the mix as well, and the 950 and the 950 XL, six phones all in front of me, and said, okay, Steve, you can have any one, I would have to think for quite a long time before making a decision. The fact that I would have to think at all, given that these two devices are 18 months to 2 years newer than the rest, is slightly worrying. I do think it's early days. I think Microsoft will fix a lot of the bugs, fix the firmware, fix the applications. And what I'm looking forward to is where the 950 and 950 XL will sit in, say, 2 months' time in terms of being fit for purpose. There is that question mark over the speaker, but that's probably the only component, Stephen, I would say, that where quality has been lowered. I think the camera does have potential to be absolutely excellent, and I've got some great shots out of it. The screen is excellent. The overall build, as you've proved, is it can be good, albeit not on some people's early units. So there is potential, just you have to look a couple of months down the line.
Well, I would imagine that I will probably still end up getting one, but I do hope they sort things, because until somebody posts something in a couple of months to say that they've had a couple of weeks faultless use and they're getting the best pictures they've ever had, I'll be hard pushed to dip my hand in my pocket. And partly because it's not a matter of wasting money. It's got to represent better value and more functionality than what I've already got. And at this moment in time, apart from the fact the 930 won't run Continuum, it doesn't. And Continuum isn't fully fledged. If it was, I could almost buy a 950 or a 950 XL just for that function over and above what I've got.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Because I said that it doesn't remember the desktop on Continuum, so when you plug it in, you don't get what you last had. Having said that, the applications that you were running, they are still there and remembering their state. So the moment you tap on them or click on them according to your interface, they come back up just as they were when you last had your last session. So it's not all a downside there, but I do agree that the continuum code is not quite there. And as you say, if that is nailed, then the likes of you and I and many other people could seriously actually take this and maybe a Miracast adapter, or maybe the continuum dock, maybe a Bluetooth keyboard. I mean, you can get those for about £30-40 these days. You don't have to pay the £100 for the Microsoft one, and have a very, very usable mobile workstation that where you can either use it on the phone, or if there an HDMI monitor is available, you plug into that, and you really have a very flexible system where your smartphone, your 950XL in this case, is your computer, is your core computer, is the most used computing device in your life. And that's quite an exciting thing to get to. I've been playing with the Nexus 6 from the Android world, and it's very, very close to being there. That doesn't have the full sort of continuum possibilities, but in terms of a large screen, very powerful device, hook up a Bluetooth keyboard, hook up a Bluetooth mouse, prop the phone up on one of the various stands, and you've kind of got really a sort of mini laptop, a very portable, very robust computing solution. And I think the continuum has the potential to go even further than that. They're just not there yet, but it's exciting times. Maybe
they're always exciting times, Steve, and there's always going to be bigger, better and more exciting things turn up, and that's why people look forward to things like the 950 or the Nexus 7 or whatever's going to come out next. And if it isn't the next big best thing, people who honestly sincerely care get very disappointed. And I honestly sincerely care. I want Windows Phone to be a success, and it doesn't need to feed the detractors. And unfortunately, to a greater or lesser extent, that's what the 950XL's done.
Okay, I think I agree with all of that. If comments welcome, if you can add comments to this story on this podcast up on allaboutwindowsphone.com, more than welcome. I'm sure you have something to say about my comments and Stephen's comments. In the meantime, we wish Rafe well over in Las Vegas. I'm sure you'll hear from him next week, how he got on. There's the Acer Jade Primo, I hope I pronounced that right, which hopefully he's got to play with, which is kind of Acer's version of the Lumia 950. In the meantime, thank you very much to Mr. Quinn for coming on.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Sorry for being grumpy, and hope young Rafe returns in a week's time.
Yeah, we're all grumpy old men at this stage, though, aren't we? So it's come goes with the territory.
Let's hope a few things turn up over the next month or so to cheer people up.
Yes. Anyway, thanks again, and thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening to everyone to this. Catch you next week. Bye.